Good morning. And we want to personally wish each and every one of you a very blessed Christmas. And it's just wonderful to see so many visitors here this morning. We want to welcome each and every one of you. As I scan the crowd, I see a lot of people who were part of our church family years ago, and marriage and family has taken them to other places, but it's good to see you back here, at least for one Sunday. We are privileged this morning to have a visiting preacher, and probably to half of us, he's no stranger, but to some of us, I'm sure he is. He swooped in here years ago and stole one of our girls, and one of our church family girls, and we bless that. We're still okay with that. And he's been called to the ministry since. I called him this week and I asked him if, in the spirit of Christmas, because he's from Canada, he's from Drayton, Ontario, and is a minister in the Countryside Congregation, and so he's from afar. So I asked him this week if, in the spirit of Christmas, he would be like a wise man that comes from afar and gives us a gift. And he said he would do that. So, Denny, if you would come up here. Denny Diefenbacher from Canada, and we'll pray for you. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you for sending us a brother from afar to deliver us a Christmas message that only he can deliver, with his personality, with the way you've shaped him and you've called him to preach a message to each one of us here this morning. We believe that. And we just pray, Father, that you'd again fill him with your Holy Spirit. Use him. Bless him. Anoint him. Help each one of us to be attentive, Lord. It is a special day, a day of family and celebration. But Lord, help us for just a little bit to focus on the reason for the season, to worship you as we listen to the preaching of your word. Bless our brother, anoint him and use him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, brother.
It is a blessing to be here. I believe we're all here for a reason this morning. Just as Jesus had a divine appointment to come to this earth, I believe each one has a divine appointment this morning to draw closer and to experience what child is this. I greet you this morning in the name of the worthy Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. I too have a take on what happened that Tuesday morning, just a week ago. I was diligently working at my desk, and I got a phone call, and it came up Collier. I thought it was sort of a prank phone call. I wasn't expecting a call, so I was almost going to put it down again, but I decided to answer it, and here I am this morning. Yes, it was Collier, and you can guess what happened. But there's more to the story. I call it Collier's persistence. He calls it the Holy Spirit's leading. My father-in-law gave him a phone number. It was our old phone number. We had discontinued that about half a year ago, so I don't know if that was done innocently or by design. But my dear mother gave him the correct phone number. Thanks for that. Still love you very much. So be careful. The moral is, be careful who you give your phone number out to. I never dreamed this day would come. In introduction Collier gave, it was 16 years ago that I was on my way from camp, South Carolina. I was on my way up here with a couple friends, and they dropped me off in Ligonier at the McDonald's. That's where I first spotted a Ford Probe, shiny Ford Probe, driven by, at the time, Amy Miller. It was a beautiful Christmas. and driving with my wife, not at that time, but driving with her back to Devon and Barbara's house was a blessed time. We knew our lives would change, but we just didn't know how much. And in the spirit of Christmas, as we anticipate thinking about what child this is, how different our lives have been because of that. If you're not sure a bit more about myself, yes, I did marry Amy Miller, daughter of Devon and Barbara, and it's been an incredible ride since. And I was ordained early in April this year. I was ordained, and the ride is again just beginning life anew. So all of you are on journeys, and I encourage you to be like Joseph, Mary's husband, to step out in faith when Jesus calls us, whatever he's calling you to, even if you don't understand what Jesus is calling you to this morning, to step out in faith and embrace what he has for you. You never know what God has for you. And for me to be up here this morning, 16 years later, and to be up here preaching, Not of what I have to share, but what God has to share through me, I would have never dreamt it. God's plans are so much greater than ours. And when we trust him and turn to him, that is when we find fulfillment. I'm not quite sure this morning that God is going to ask you to marry someone that's pregnant. I'm quite certain that he's not going to tell you that the wife you're about to marry is going to have a child that's conceived by the Holy Ghost, but there are other things, smaller things, that he might be calling you to this morning. And Christmas means many different things to many different people. For some people, it's just about the lights and the Christmas trees and the decorations and a good time with family and friends. In this Christmas season, I was caught more than once thinking, when we go past somebody, do we say Merry Christmas still? Do we keep that? And I'm surprised how many people actually do still say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays. For some, this Christmas might be a lonely time. If you've lost a loved one recently, it might be a sad time. And my heart goes out to you this morning if that's where you find yourself. I pray that you'd have somebody to spend the holiday with, that you'd have somebody to comfort you. And God is always there to comfort you. Christmas is a time to think about what is important to us. It makes us feel cared for. Christmas is a time to focus on Jesus, the reason for the season. And when thinking about Christmas, thinking about Jesus, where he was born, his divine appointment, divinity entered the world on the floor of a stable through the womb of a teenager and in the presence of a carpenter, is a quote by Max Lucado. When you think of that, a baby born in a stable, smelling of urine, sheep dung, and any other things that a stable has, to be born, a king born in such an environment, causes us to pause, to think. And Mary holding her maker, the creator of the universe, on her lap, helpless, depending on the created to care for the creator. Only lowly shepherds are proclaiming his birth. And while the only ones to bring presents are strangers from afar. Charles Spurgeon wrote the following, "Let your soul lose itself in wonder, for wonder is in this way a very practical emotion. Holy wonder will lead you to a grateful worship and heartful thanksgiving. It will cause within you godly watchfulness. You will be afraid to sin against such a love as this. If Jesus has done such a marvelous thing on your behalf, you will be free. You will feel that heaven itself is not too great for you, your expectation. Who can be astonished at anything when he has once been astonished at the manger and the cross? What is there wonderful left after one that has seen the Savior?" And that is my design for the service this morning, that we can be lost in wonder this morning, whatever that child means to you, that we could be lost in wonder as Mary did and just ponder on our own in the stillness of our quiet time to ponder on what that means for you, what that means for me. If you could turn in your Bibles, we will proceed to read the Christmas story as found in Luke chapter 2. And in thinking, what does this story mean to you? Let it draw close. Let the words that the gospel writer is writing draw you close to what this child means to you. In Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1 and reading through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there is no room for him in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, that ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory be to God in the highest, and on the earth goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which it came to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at the things which they were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it were told unto them. The foundation of our faith found in this chapter of Jesus coming to earth. I was going to follow this up with in thinking in the song, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that one day your boy would walk on water, that he will save our sons and daughters, that he will make you new, that he will soon deliver you? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind, calm a storm with his hand, walked where angels trod, and has kissed the face of God? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation and will someday rule all nations? Did you know your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb, and that your sleeping child is the great I Am? What child is this? What child is this that was laid to rest in this manger, in a stable? Each one of us will somehow, someday have to answer that for ourselves. The incarnation of Jesus was already prepared before man came to this earth. God knew before that he would have to send Jesus to die on the earth before he created man. And as we look at this, I want to ponder through looking at this story through the life of Mary, how she viewed it, maybe how Joseph viewed it, how the wise men viewed it, how the shepherds reacted to this story, and then last of all, how we react to the story of Jesus. Starting with God, however, and God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness. So Jesus was there. The three of them, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, when the earth was created, Jesus was there. The Creator was there. Jesus was present when this world was created. And he went forth and created the world, knowing that in yet a short time, he would come in as a baby, and a short while later, die on the cross for our sins. But he went ahead with it anyway. If we look in the Bible, it's a promise of his coming already in Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The coming of the Messiah, already promised to Adam and Eve. They fell. I don't know how long they were in the Garden of Eden before they fell, but when they fell, God already promised them that someday this Messiah would come and that he would bruise the head of Satan. Notice too that it was the seed of the woman, not the offspring of a man. It was already prophesied back then that this birth would be something special, something supernatural. And in Christ, this promise was fulfilled. God loved his son. In Matthew 3:17, it says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I believe God and Jesus had a very close relationship. Jesus relied on God and followed him and listened to him. And it was a great time and there were, when Jesus came to this earth for God. I don't know how God felt. I'm not here to tell you that. Was it a parting? Was it still a closeness? I don't know how God felt. But he sent his son to this earth. Another point, Jesus had a purpose in coming to this earth. He wasn't just sent here. He came with a purpose. To save the world, to die on the cross. And Isaiah says, by his stripes are we healed. This Christmas, do we have a purpose? And now getting into what Christmas is all about. We understand, by reading the scriptures, we understand why Jesus had to come to this earth. We understand, we can explain that. We can see how God created a nation, Israel, and that how he taught people through that, the old law, and how they could see that they could never attain God's righteousness. We can see that a high priest was needed, and that something had to happen. And we can reconcile that. We understand the plan of redemption. It all makes sense. It can be taught. It can be caught in a systematic theology. We can teach people that, how this all works, how it all follows through, how the death needed to happen. But one thing this morning is God's motive for this. We can't explain that this morning. God's love for us leaves us in awe. It's not logical. It's not explainable. Every time I think about it, why God would create us if he knows we are going to sin, I can't come up with a logical explanation why he would do that. We know he did it because he loved us, but how do you explain that type of love? And the world is needing that type of love from us today. How do we explain that? How do we? We can't, but the people around us can see it, and it's contagious, and they will draw from that. It was a virgin birth, a supernatural conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary without the seed of man. Jesus had the full nature, sinful nature of his mother Mary and the sinless divine nature of his father. No wonder Mary pondered these things. She kept them close in her heart. This baby being fully God and fully man, how do you put that in words? We can't. We stand in awe and our mouth open, but no words are really fitting. And I think that's where Jesus wants us. That's where God wants us. To fall down on our knees this morning and worship the baby whose name is Jesus and ponder, what child is this? And when we're in that state, back to what Spurgeon wrote as well, let your soul lose itself in wonder, for wonder is a very practical emotion. What did the angels think? Did they understand anything, what was happening? That Jesus was going to leave glory and come down to earth. Come down to earth for who? People that were looking for him? People that were going to hold him up? No, people that were sinning against God's laws. In the bulletin you see it as well, this verse that's one of the most popular verses in John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should have everlasting life. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'm sure the angels were there in awe, and there's something, sense of something special was going on in heaven. Wonder and amazement must have filled them. Christ's birth also caused quite a stir on earth. Joseph married Mary under the suspicion of fornication. I'm sure many were talking about it. Maybe it doesn't happen so much in your churches, this gossip and you know, if something happens, did you hear this? Did you hear that? I'm sure that was going on very much so when Joseph took Mary to be his wife. Who is this child? Who is the father of this child? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit could actually impregnate a woman? Do you really believe that stuff? But it happened. Whether they believed it or not, I'm not here to tell you this morning. Lowly shepherds hearing the angels singing. Kings coming from a far distance, and King Herod being alarmed at what would happen to his kingdom. As we look at it from the prophet's view, they look forward to this time. Isaiah had many scriptures that he wrote that he looked forward to the time when Jesus would come. They're anticipating it. They were living in sin, and the only thing that the blood sacrifices could do was cover it. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." They were anticipating the birth of Christ. On this side of the cross, are we thankful for what we have? And in Isaiah 7:4, God narrowed it down for him. He said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." Simeon was promised that he should not see death before he's seen Jesus. I like his testimony. In Luke 2:28-32, Simeon took the baby in his arms, Jesus in his arms, and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word, for the eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and a glory of thy people Israel." He identified Jesus as a Savior. It was his hope and his salvation. Mary, if you study Mary, she is probably the most interesting to study on her reaction, her thoughts, what was going through her mind as she held this baby. She gets a visit from an angel that says, "Blessed be thou among all women." She was told she is going to conceive. She asked the question, "How can I conceive knowing no man?" And it goes on, and the angel tells her, and the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called Son of God. That was her answer. That was all she had to go by. Something that never ever happened in the history of mankind was about to happen inside of her. I'll let you think in your minds what went through hers. But her response was unbelievable. She submitted to it and she said, I am your handmaid, do what you want with me. She submitted to the idea. We read through this knowing the beginning, knowing the end, but we have no idea how it is in her shoes. What did she think? When did reality set in? Reading on, as Mary went and visited her sister, or her relative Elizabeth, I'm sorry, after that, Mary had a beautiful understanding of what Jesus was. I'm not sure if she really understood, but yet somehow she was enlightened, and she understood a bit what Jesus went. She started to understand what this child was, but I think she still had a lot of questions, and she submitted herself to the will of God. This child was still Mary's son. It was her baby. For all you mothers here this morning that have held a baby, that have had your own baby, I believe Mary had the same thoughts when she held the Creator in her hands. She nurtured it. She took care of it. And yet, it was the Creator laying on her lap. I don't know if she could get her mind around that or not. I'm still going. Then came the stable experience. As a mother, we have sanitary hospitals, we have clean homes. How many would accept having a baby born in such an environment? A stable that smelled and had animals in it. This was no place for a king. What child is this? It's the Son of God, and yet he accepts being born in such a lowly, poor, humble place. Mary pondered these things in her heart, wondering what child will he grow up to be? What child is this? I can probably identify most closely to Joseph's reaction. He didn't have the baby growing inside of him. He did have an angel telling him what was happening. But I find it hard if I was in Joseph's spot. You're telling me to marry this pregnant lady. Is that what you're telling me, God, to marry this pregnant lady? You have no idea what you're asking me to do. Family is going to disown me. People are going to talk about me. I had my future planned. I don't know what Joseph had, but I mean, by that time, he probably had a bit of an idea what he was going to do, where he's going to settle down, maybe around his friends, maybe around his family. And now God was asking him to step out in faith. Go ahead, Mary. Mary, Mary, Mary. She's pregnant, and she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. I don't know what I've done in Joseph's spot. It is just questions this morning, causing us to ponder, causing us to think of these people that were there at the time when Jesus was born. There was no answers for Joseph. All he was supposed to do was go ahead and take Mary to be his wife. That was his instruction. That was the whole instruction given by God to him. Go ahead and take Mary to be your wife. I will take care of the rest. If you're thinking this morning you're in a spot where God is asking you to do a lot, I'd ask you to look back on Joseph's life and compare what you are going through and compare to what Joseph was asked to do. Go ahead, marry this pregnant teenager, and I will take care of the rest for you. The shepherd's reaction is a special reaction, a special thought for us. They were first frightful when the angel of the Lord came to him. You know, the reaction they were of, they backed down. They were scared. Who are these angels? But they stayed around. They lingered, and they listened to what the angels had to say to them. They told of a baby that was born in Bethlehem. And they listened to what the angels had to say. They listened to what God had to say. And they went and they visited the baby lying in a manger. And they went and they told people about the baby. So from them, I see they listened, they obeyed, and they went. And then they proclaimed the holy birth to the people around, and many that heard it, as we read in the scripture that we read. And all they that heard wondered of the things which told them by the shepherds. My question was, where were the rest of the people when the sky was filled up with a heavenly host? Where were the rest of the people? Did they mean to miss it, or were they just busy? Did they have too much other things going on that they missed Jesus coming into this world? It was simple faith that they believed in Jesus. The Magi's reaction, this child was a king. Is that what you see this morning when you look at the face of Jesus? Is this child a king? They traveled a long distance. My father-in-law could probably have a better idea how long they actually traveled. I don't know myself. How long they took, I don't know. But they came a long distance to find him. The reference in the Bible that's given is Herod killed all boys 2 and under. So sometime between the birth of Christ and 2 years later, the wise man, the Magi, came and visited Jesus. And they asked, who is this born king of the Jews? They were looking for a king, and they identified Jesus as a king. And when they came to Jesus, they treated him like a king. They presented Jesus with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was customary of the people in the East to never approach kings without gifts. They paid their respect to Jesus, the king of the world. You will face other people, unbelievers, that choose not to believe in Jesus. There is no real reason to not believe in Jesus. 2 Peter 3, 3-6 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this, they are willingly ignorant of what the word of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Peter would identify that people are willingly ignorant when they reject Jesus as their Savior. They come to the baby, and they walk away, leaving the baby in the manger, leaving the baby there and not going any farther, not accepting the baby into their hearts. That's where they leave the baby. This Christmas is probably just another holiday for the unbelievers. There's nothing special. This morning, and I'm sure as you entered Christmas, you've had very special thoughts as your prayer and your thanksgiving to Christ, your Savior. You've been filled with joy, and you've been filled with hope. And if you're going through trials. Jesus has been there to comfort you. There is no real reason to shut out Jesus, to treat him as though he is not who he says he is. The Pharisees shut up their heart against him. I think deep down they really knew that this was something special, but they fought against it. If Jesus is trying to get into your heart, don't fight against it. Let Jesus in. Your life after will be so much better. These people follow after their own lusts, their own things, which don't satisfy. They just create more lusts, create more problems. Yet Jesus came for everyone. This Christmas, don't look around at the unbelievers, those that reject Jesus, and treat them differently. Go out, have a heart for them. Talk to them, relate to them, tell them about Jesus. Don't keep Jesus in your heart. Let it out. Let the people see. Spread the word around this Christmas time. Don't keep Jesus bottled up. Our response this morning to this child, this precious child, what is our response? Is it like Simeon when he says, "My eyes have seen the salvation"? Was it like the Magi that proclaimed him as king of their life, that proclaimed him as a king? Was it like Joseph, getting out of your comfort zone, doing something special this Christmas, doing something you've never done before? Was it like the shepherds, the simple faith they had? Or was it like Mary, making it personal, pondering? She had an intimate relationship. Jesus couldn't get any closer. He was inside of her. Is Jesus inside of you today, telling you what to do, inspiring you? As Charles Spurgeon, "Let your soul lose itself in wonder, for wonder is in this way a very practical emotion. Holy wonder will lead you to a grateful worship and heartfelt thanksgiving." It is only when we experience Jesus for who he truly is that we can give back to him that type of grateful worship. If we can't come there, if we don't really understand and really get involved in wonder and who Jesus is, it's just a formality. It's just a going through the motions. And I hope that's not how your life is this morning, that your relationship with Jesus is one of an intimate relationship, that it feels more than a formality, that it's the water that you go to that you need. Let's wander together, and you can add to this list. You can create your own list. As we think about what child this is, that God came near to us. So near, he was inside the womb of Mary, and that's exactly how close he wants to get to us. And in closing, I gotta have a list that, and you, like I said, you can add to this list. This child has no beginning and no end. This child was present during creation of the world. This child humbled himself to the death of the cross, even before the first sin was committed. This child witnessed the first sin and separation and despair it caused back in the Garden of Eden. This child's birth was prophesied. This child's birth was anticipated with longing. This child was born in a lowly stable. This child had a loving earthly mother and a heavenly father. This child was hugged and held and touched and loved by humans. Yet this child loved us even more than we... This child loved us even before we loved him. This child understands us. This child has the power to heal the sick, make the dead to rise, comfort those that mourn, and the ability to save the lost. This child has the power to lay down his own life and the ability to take it back up again. This child allowed himself to be crucified on the cross for our sins. This child is a king. This child is given all power in heaven and earth. This child is now interceding on our behalf, seated at the right hand of God. This child has many names: Jesus, Savior, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Man of Sorrows, Lord, Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, Lamb of God, Light of the World, King of the Jews, Emmanuel. Ponder as Mary did. Take time this Christmas to still your soul, to be quiet before Jesus. Take time this Christmas to answer the question for yourself, what child is this? Let's stand for prayer.